Isn't it, we do find some validity to the ones that are really new, and the argument they made that only to the extent that I mean, my thought is, it shouldn't be, as they were saying, it shouldn't be more than the appraised, you know, what the overall rate. And so that's where they're getting their 9.7 is the kind of their, wasn't a 9.7 or 9 something?
That's what the new ones are wanting, yeah.
From a precedent standpoint, you're reassessing these. You aren't reassessing these, but somebody's reassessing every year or every other year on these. And they use the cap rate that's going to be probably the CoStar cap rate. But I don't know.
Well, I mean, I know when we discussed and after talking with the people that we've talked with, the 8% was kind of the number where we were at. So the 7.9 is not unreasonable compared to everyone that we've talked to.
Correct, with the banks and the
right.
And the other thing. I don't think that that's unreasonable. So the question is whether or not on the brand new ones, which is the ones that Mr. Rudy was here for, whether or not we are able to give a higher cap rate, say, for the first few years of them, you know, basically is what they're asking for. I mean, after the first few years, I think they're going to be subject to the same cap rate as everybody else. I don't know that it's we're setting a precedent if we just do it for these early properties that are. He's got one that's 3 and one that's a year and a half, mm-hmm. I think. Is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah,
but we haven't
two.
Run his numbers yet to find out what they are with the 7.9 and what we're talking about. I don't know what his appraised is, but one of them wasn't at $11 million and the other one was $800 million.
Okay. We don't have to make that decision right now if you want to run that using those numbers, and then we can make a decision on that after lunch.
But so the agreed on numbers are 7.9 plus the effective tax rate, correct?
That is what we're going to do. I believe that's what we're going to do for, was it Ed?
Daniel.
We're just going to run it on everybody and see what you get.
Daniel Shepard.
Yeah.
And he said we could make this decision. He may be listening in right now. He said
right.
we can make
and
that
the
decision.
And the reserve? So we're going across the board with everybody. The assessor is supposed to equalize things.
Well, you can't.
I understand that you have to equalize similar properties.
Yeah.
And
but
if
we were doing cost approach, it would take into effect how old the structure is.
Right.
But we're not. We're doing income, and the state has given them a break by doing the way they're doing this. And so to add in yet another variable that the state tax commission and the statutes have not called for, I don't understand why you're adding something new. These have been going a long time.
You're using 3. He was using 4. And Mr. Rudy was asking for 3.5. Is that my understanding?
Rudy was asking for an actual number.
Yeah.
Actual cost, which makes sense.
Well, but that's...
So on the new one, they were actually asking for 10%. Cap rate. I've got it right here in my hand.
Yeah, they were asking for 10%, but I.
Plus the effective.
I think their argument was at the very least it should be the
7.6
because of the. If you don't use that cap rate, then their property is overvalued, or it doesn't meet the.
Well, we don't know until we run the numbers.
Fair market value.
Well, and I think that was part of the discrepancy was that things that they were counting as expenses, they were saying you were not counting as expenses, and so there was a discrepancy in what they could classify,
and
which also adjusted that number.
You gave them that documentation.
I gave everybody the one that we use, and I've given that to Mark and all of them and Dan Shepard
right.
in the past. So.
I don't think that Daniel was arguing that.
No, Daniel was not.
All right, if at least with respect to Daniel's property, if we grant the 7.9 on the cap rate, what's your thought on the reserve?
You want it per unit, or do you want it as a percentage?
Right, and that's what I'm...
Well, he has calculated it as a percentage of 4%.
And, but was his base, I was trying to remember his basis on that. Just because he's got, I mean, did he indicate that they tell him, they dictate to them what they have to keep as a reserve? Is that wrong?
I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do.
And that varies by property.
Yeah.
And all of his were at that same 4% for what he gave us.
So then why are we arguing about it if they dictate it? If the program dictates, in other words, who is the entity is in Washington or wherever that dictates these?
It's state MCGH or whatever, Missouri Housing.
There's the MHDC.
Yeah, I mean, if they're, whatever they're dictating, I don't know how we use a different number. I mean, in other words, is the reserve dictated? I guess we can ask that question to Ruta. But I get the impression that he's doing what he's dictated to do as far as Daniel goes. So, I mean, as far as his property.
Because the State Tax Commission, when you look at it, and for the assessor's manual, they actually give a table, and you fill the numbers in, and it's supposed to calculate it out. But they're talking about these people getting a subsidy, and they're not getting, like, an actual cash amount subsidy to put into that table. And so that's why we had to do it the way we've been doing it. And so...
Well, Daniel seemed to indicate that he was doing what they require him to do. And that's why he had the 4%. So I guess we need to clarify that question. Mind if I... Is it okay if I call right now? Sure. I want to call Daniel. Hi, Daniel. This is David Akers of the BOE. You got just a second?
Yeah.
Okay. We wanted to clarify a question with respect to the reserve. You're using a 4% reserve?
I should have used $300. I mean, I don't really look at it as a percent, but
when you say you should have, is the amount of the reserve dictated to you? Or do you just set that?
I just set it.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's what I'm saying. You know, on mine, like my base is right at about $300 per unit, and you know, on a percentage, then you're going to take the total value of that divided into the effective gross. That'll give you, in essence, what the percentage is. And so, you know, just like on this first one, Forest Side Meadows that I came to, $300 for 40 units is $12,000. And it looks like my effective gross on the pro forma side it's gonna come to roughly 4%.
Okay. And your properties are older. Does that factor into your 4% versus one that's brand new where they're not going to have as much? So theirs would be potentially a lesser amount.
Yeah, it does, because, you know, and this is what I found on the modeling side for, you know, like I said, when I did it for the county. Down here in Washington County, Arkansas, which is Fayetteville, we were able to show, based on the age of the property, that the reserves for 0 to 10-year-old properties, they weren't at that $300 mark. We were more in line with $200 or $250 per unit. Seemed like once they got to that 10-year mark, that's when $300. And so I'll interview a lot of the clients that I have, and when we do our initial first-of-the-year meetings, and that's always a question I ask, and some of my clients have said I'm too low at 300. I've got one guy in Fayetteville that's like, no, my requirement is 400. It's a call that we've made kind of in our office. As you know, it's not the high, it's not low, it's just kind of right in the middle. But there's all kinds of factors that play into that, and one of them, the main one, being age, condition, also, you know, location. There's just a lot that goes into that call. But 300 is where I've landed.
$300.
Mm-hmm.
$300 per unit. Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Does the board have any questions for him before we?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'd be happy to answer anything else you got.
No, we're just trying to. We're looking at whether or not. I think the board agrees that what you found in CoStar probably is what ought to be used as a cap rate. But there's obviously the question with the other properties that are brand new, whether it's reasonable to give them a higher cap rate right now, knowing they're going to be reassessed every 2 years.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff on the newer properties too. I mean, you know, that's where it's also, you know, newer property typically would garner possibly a lower cap rate than the older product. And so, you know, when we look at that too.
A lower or higher?
Higher.
A lower cap rate. I mean, so for instance, you know, you've got something that was built in, say, 2023, then, you know, you basically got a new project. You know, I'm gonna hedge my cap rate down a hair. Meaning, it's not gonna be a 7.9. It's probably gonna fall somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe a 7 or a 7.2, which would then result in a higher value. That's typically what I do, because it obviously it's newer, and so, you know. But we also we're looking.
But are you talking about it for tax purposes or for other purposes?
No, I'm talking about it just for if I'm doing an analysis on a property, that's how I do it. Because we get folks all the time that call and say, hey, you know, we need to know what the taxes are going to be on a new project in Fayetteville or Springfield or Branson. And so, you know, then I'm going out to the market. I'm pulling, you know, the multifamily reports. I'm looking at anything we've got sales-wise. I'm going through all of it. And on the newer stuff, I typically do have a little bit lower cap rate than I do older. It's just that's the age part of it. So, you know, there's a lot of appraisers that I've worked with that are MAIs throughout Kansas all the way down to Alabama, and it's kind of a consensus that, you know, you've got different cap rates for different types of property. And so to come in and say that, you know, here's just one cap rate for the entire market, that's a tricky thing to do. But then I know where you're going with it. You know, you don't want to get too bogged down of, all right, well, this one's 3 years, you know, newer, or this one has, you know, this type of rent, so we're going to stagger or we're going to model our cap rate based on this. So that's kind of me getting into the finer points of it with folks that are asking. I want to know, you know, the best estimate of what my tax would be, you know, based on these rents, this construction cost, or this, you know, that or the other. So.
Well, and you sat here and listened to the argument on the other side, and I'm not asking you to point counterpoint, but, I mean, they're asking for, obviously, because of their being brand new, they're asking for a much higher cap rate, saying that you know, in order to even comport with the fair market value of the property, they need a cap rate up around 9.7.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. On a newer project like that, I would not, just if it was my client, I wouldn't come in that high. You know, one of the things that got me when I came back to the office, and, you know, I looked into my IAAO income course, 102, which is the income approach to valuation, and they list replacement reserves in their income approach. And so, you know, that's one thing that, you know, the assessor, if she took that course, it is for a fact something that they require in their income approach.
Now, is it
now that amount, That's a, you know, like I said, that's whatever anybody can prove.